How do you support this show, own your neurodivergence, and be an ally all at the same time? Check out our merch, somethingshinypodcast.com/merch.
Hello, I'm Isabel, she, her, hers.
And I'm David, he, him, his.
And we're two therapists with ADHD who sit down to have some chats about ADHD. We can't promise we'll stay on topic,
or be professional,
or even remotely mature, but we can promise that you'll end up looking at you or your loved one's beautiful, neurodivergent brain in a shiny new way. This is not a therapy session. This is something shiny.
I love it.
Do you like it?
That's amazing. And can this just be the intro? You saying that and me freaking out about how amazing it is?
Yes.
Yeah. And you dropping your voice.
That could be our
that's
first
so
intro.
Good.
So without further ado, welcome to Something Shiny.
I'm David.
This is the second part of an amazing conversation with our beloved colleague and incredible human, Ren. Please go back and listen to the first part if you want more context. High recommend. And without further ado, here's part two.
So have you seen lots of different ways of homeschooling where you've seen like more idealized versions of it and less idealized versions? Like, can you speak to more of like the like diversity within that environment?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, based on my memories of the people that I knew, I would say like my family was more towards the structured in. Like there were a couple of families that I heard referenced at least who would actually do like, it's 9 o'clock, let's sit at this desk and like talk about history. But most of the folks that I, like the kids I grew up with, it was more like, we have some history books. We're going to the history museum. We're going to write a paper about something we saw at the history museum or a play. One particularly artsy family that I knew was like, yeah, that tracks. We're going to write a play about Lewis and Clark. And then like you kind of do things in a way that's paced very much depending on like what your mom, and it was almost entirely moms, like could handle, and also what a lot of it was birth order. I'm not going to lie. Like a lot of the eldest kids, like had a very different experience than the younger ones because moms had practice by then. And also like, I think got a little bit more tired. So it was like, okay, this is clearly not that important. Just let's make sure you know things. Now, some of this, like, I don't want to paint like too rosy a picture because a lot of people I know struggled when they got to college. Or struggled when they just got out of like the bubble that we grew up in. So I think it worked up to a point. I think a little bit more of a transition prep would have been helpful.
Yeah.
But we didn't know. None of our parents had been homeschooled.
What was that transition like?
Oh, I spent all of freshman year depressed.
Which God.
I know now. Yeah. I didn't know then. But it was like a light switch going from it's kind of whatever, I'm automatically the best at everything I do because I am a class of one. Like I go where I want, when I want, I like read this book real quick and then do whatever because I'm a fast reader. So a lot of things are possible when you're a fast reader. And then going to, you expect me to sit in this class for multiple hours, multiple times a week, listening to you talk, and then do more stuff later? I could have done so much with this time. Like, I never had homeroom. I never learned to have my time wasted by an authority figure. I was aghast.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like,
and the oh my God, the busy work, the concept of busy work. I was like, you are kidding. If this isn't hard, I'm not doing it. Only I have to now because it's graded. But at home as a homeschooler, it's like, if it's not hard, I'm not doing it.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was
okay.
A mess.
So if I'm hearing right, it's like your, let's call it like maybe your family's flavor or the flavor you got of the homeschooling you experienced was kind of like what I picture, and this is a weird metaphor, but I'm picturing like Like if it was an ice cream shop, it might be one of those like Froyo places where everyone can choose, like taste all the flavors and then choose which flavor they want and then choose the toppings. Mm-hmm. And like the structure is the fact that it's all yogurt and it's all here's the toppings. Right. But beyond that, it's like you get to it's like what I hear is just such an autonomy and a sense of self-assurance and like a like it's like that idea of like I heard this recently, like kids don't need to feel like in order to feel confident, you just need to trust yourself. You need to know that what you experience and your pace of things is valid. Right. So, for example, if like and I'm this is totally Dr. Becky, I'm stealing from the Good Inside people. But she's like she talked about how like, OK, listen, you do. We'll put it in the show notes. Like, for example, if a kid is really struggling in school or they're I'm really scared of that. We really quickly as caregivers rush to, oh, no, it's not. Don't worry. We minimize it. Like we cut it off before. So like essentially what we're doing is we're saying it's not even about the fact we're minimizing the emotion. We're actually saying to the kid, you can't trust your own assessment of your own experience, right? Because if their assessment is this is too fast or this is too much or I'm so scared, and we're then coming in with a counter of like, oh, no, you don't have to have that feeling. It's like it forces you can't trust yourself, right? Because you never like get a gauge for your own, like validating your own experience. And what I hear, Ren, is like you were like in validation, not to say in all ways or all spaces, but like there's something about the rhythm of learning that was just very validating because it was like you said. And then I love how you like added that emphasis of like, and I was always the best at what I did because I was a class of one. But I'm like, yes, because that's true. Like that is also so true. So what I think about when you say you spent first off, I just want to pause and think on like Ren of that freshman year, right? Like, because what I hear, I almost imagine your wings were clipped, like the way, like you, it's like you saw through the matrix and you're like, this is all ridiculous, but also like, I have to adapt to it in order to ... I don't know. Like, does that resonate? Like, I feel like you got like, it's like, okay, one more metaphor. I'm on a roll here. It's like the difference between, I don't know why this is what I picture, but you know, like if you tame a bird from birth, it like won't fly out of the cage. Mm-hmm. But if a bird is caught in the wild and then its wing is clipped, it will always fly away. Do you know that?
Yeah. Idea?
Like behaviorally, right? Like you're just never going to be fully like, like, how to put it, Ren? I feel like I am the opposite of your story.
Oh, no.
I went to school a bonus day every week, and that was Polish school. And it was based on the Polish school system, which was, like, rote memorization and memorizing poetry and reciting it. It was, like, old school. And practicing a very specific form of handwriting. So I learned cursive in two different formats.
Holy crap.
At the same time. So I say this to me, and I feel like as you're talking, I'm like, all I had was busy work in sequence. Anyway,
but
so like I'm just saying I'm that tame bird where I'm like, wow, this is unfathomable to me.
I am quickly realizing, like, I just have to say this, I'm quickly realizing how I would not have survived if I was Ren. Like the end, the hardest thing, Ren, the hardest thing for me throughout school was everything you just described. Like I was oppositional. I was always like, don't pick on that kid, or this is unjust, or why would we do this? I would like drag my feet at everything. Like all of my learning through elementary and middle school and high school was frustration tolerance and helplessness. Like you are nothing. And then all of a sudden, but truly, and then all of a sudden, as I matriculated through education, I got more and more agency. And you did it differently. And when you were telling the story, no one could see me, but I was like legit covering my mouth with like a holy shit.
You're watching a horror movie.
Yeah. Okay. So I had this really horrible vision. And I'm so sorry I'm going to say this, but like I recently learned this word called spaghettification. Have you ever heard?
Oh my gosh. What happens when you get closer to the singularity of a black hole?
Right. Or a high pressure meets low pressure. It like sucks you in, like you turn into spaghetti. And like, it feels like it's don't Google this, but Google this.
Yeah. No, Google this. We'll put it in the show notes. Cause if it's, you're approaching a black hole, the idea is the bottom of you starts to spaghettify.
Into
an atomic level.
And
while the top of you would still be not.
And
potentially, right? And it would go forever.
So here's the thing. While we were on the subject of spaghettification, David mentioned some recent events that led him down the rabbit hole of discovering what this term actually means. You know, I almost don't want to give you the search terms, but point is if you look up spaghettification, you will likely find your way to these details. David shared all these really graphic and really hard to forget details. So big, big trigger warning. It's a lot, but also if you're curious, that is what we're referencing later in this episode. Happy rabbit holing. Be warned.
We don't need to get lost in this, but that's why my face made that face, Ren, because you were entering in a school system with no defenses for the absolute onslaught of like ridiculous bullshit. I mean, like, you walked into a room and you got hit with a fire hose of something you didn't know existed. And I'm just like,
it's colonialism.
Oh my God, right? Yes. Oh.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, it's the pilgrims.
But does that make sense? Yeah. Right? Like, I'm sorry, I'm getting so hyperbolic, but like, you're saying it, like, that was a hard transition. And I'm going, all the bullshit power struggles. Like all the, oh.
I mean, at the time, I was just like, oh, I'm probably just touch starved because like I'm the eldest of six. Like I'd never gone a day without somebody like, you know, in my space. And, you know, in college, nobody was in my space. But yeah, it was like, oh, I'm failing at the thing that I'm good at. And now I guess I'm supposed to learn how to study. I would do, in retrospect, the most tragic things, like, because I learned about how people do school on TV.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, okay, I'm going to gather up all my textbooks and my homework. I'm going to go to the library for 7 hours and I'm just going to like sit there until work happens. And it never did. Because I'm in the library for 7 hours with like 8 textbooks in front of me being like, ah, and then I would leave and go to rehearsal. In answer to what you said earlier, Isabel, the way I dealt with it was doing the closest thing to not, like, the closest thing to being a homeschooler, which was get a theater major. So I spent a lot of time taking finals that did not require writing. But it was a time. An on-ramp would have been nice.
Oh my gosh. Couple things are hitting me. One, and I will edit this out, but that image will never leave my psyche, David. It will never leave my psyche. I am still,
I am still
thinking about it. And actually, I kind of don't want to edit it out because, you know, in that way that like when you learn something so disturbing, you like need to know you're not alone in it because it's so terrifying.
Trauma bonding?
I don't know.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think.
Trauma bonding?
Sounds like trauma
bonding. But I kind of also know that someone, here's what I'm concerned about. Someone is going to be listening and they're definitely going to go on that rabbit hole and then they're going to feel so alone. And I just need that person to hear. Maybe we edited out what it was, but we know what it was. And it's a lot and you're not alone. Okay. So back to what you were saying, Ren. Okay. So, okay. I hear what you're saying, David. And okay, so I'm like in my concept, right? Like you're saying you were slowly, slowly walking towards increasing autonomy coupled with increasing self-awareness. Like David, in your example, right? Like your awareness of more and more things, more and more depth, more and more complexity, right? It's like there was like a developmental, you know, part. It's not like one straight line, but there's like some trajectory that kind of moved more and more into a freeing, feeling more free direction.
Yeah, the more bullshit I could do, the more autonomy I got.
Gotcha. So you got like rewarded for doing the bullshit. And then the thing about homeschooling that I'm hearing and I'm so curious about, which in my head this all connects, right? But like, I know you got report cards and I know that you took like those state tests, but how much, I just get the sense that you were learning, you know, that idea of like extrinsic reward versus intrinsic reward and how you want, like, it's like you, like, you know, when a kid shows you a picture, instead of going, oh, it's so pretty, you say, how did it make you feel to make the picture, right? Because you want like your own self-reference for your own sense of pride or your own sense of capacity. What I'm wondering about, Ren, is like one, where did that anxiety start? And was it that around then, or was it always there and it just got amplified or shifted in that environment? Like, what happened to, because you mentioned depression, I wonder, like, what happened to anxiety? Question mark. And then the other question is, what happened to your, I guess, your sense of self? Like, I guess, did you ever, because at that point you had had what, like 16, 17, I don't know what time you entered college, right? But like, you had a 18, you had like 18 solid years, let's say, of having yourself as one of the main self-references for like your capacities and like what you loved and like what you wanted to do in the world, right? So like, does that make sense? Like, did it, I guess what I'm thinking about is like how it can take just one awful educational experience to like, you know.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is a great question that I should maybe ask my therapist. Because when I think about myself as a teenager, the impression that I have is just like, oh my God, so much ego. Like, I would say up till college, all of my anxiety was about going to hell. And after, during and after college, my anxiety was about everything else. In addition, it was like, oh, wait, I'm getting things wrong in a way that is invisible to me, but is definitely impacting me. And it feels like everybody else kind of knows what's going on. Because in another way, again, I'm outside the bubble. Everybody else has seen all the same movies and seen TV and music and done stuff. We're not even going to talk about dating. But like, you know, I'm just like, I'm like an alien trying to blend in because, you know, you're 18, you tell people you're a homeschooler. People want to know how many Jesus jumpers you own. You know, it's not cool.
What's a Jesus jumper?
Oh, that is, I'm so glad you asked. So it's like a long denim skirt that, you know, traditionally goes to like the ankle. It's like a sundress, like a very basic sundress. Like if you think like of a potato sack with like sleevelessness cut out of it. I'm not describing this very well. And made of denim. The spectrum of like homeschool moms that I described to my mom, because she wasn't invested enough to have created a hierarchy of homeschool moms in her head. I was like, Mom, you wear clothes like people on TV. Again, my referent for like regular life. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have moms who wear Jesus jumpers, don't cut their hair, and don't let their daughters go to college. So when I say we were on the more structured and, you know, not totally referential of the whole homeschool experience, that's kind of what I'm thinking of. So that's what people think of. Like if you ever were familiar with like the Duggars TV show, like those people with all the kids, they're homeschoolers. Mm-hmm. They're the homeschooler reference. The homeschooler they reference is white and religious.
We literally call it the Duggar poof.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. Like, I knew some girls like that.
Like the bouffant in the front. Uh-huh. And then it's like pinned up and then the hair is like, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so identity up till college was at doing a great job at running a household and like being smart in the correct ways and not being like difficult, like, you know, say taking the refrigerator apart. We've never let him get over it. And at for college, it was like, okay, I need to find a new thing because nobody needs me to run a household anymore. And also school is requiring tasks that I think are stupid. I will become a stage manager because that's very close to running a household.
That is very close to running. Uh-huh. Oh my.
And you get the validation of people like needing you and they can't get anything done without you. And you have rehearsal. So you have structure to your days because you got like 4 hours at the end of the day that are just rehearsal, like four nights a week. I just lived in that theater building because it was like, okay, this is going to be my new thing.
There's this piece that you keep referencing, Ren, that like I want to make sure I like even expand. There are so many people that when you're talking about like the TV normalization piece, like that's so real for people. And I think that like it's one of those things around like representation and one of those things around even understanding like how to, so many people I know that I work with, like personally, friends, all that stuff, within the continuum of ADHD, it's just like I talk about the Norman Rockwell thing. Like people want to study, like they imagine Norman Rockwell would paint studying, you know, like with a lit candle and a table side, and you've got like a weird like skull cap thing and like a feather pen and like, but like we would validate that that's really studying, just like you went like books on a table in a library is really studying. It's like that picture. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think the theme there for so many people with ADHD is it's like, it's about how it should look. We don't do the other part. It looks right. Right. So then it happens. Right. Because it looks right. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. You mean they read all the books?
My stack of books. It is placed in a slightly haphazard fashion. Just like right.
I went to the library in college to work with a couple people, and we worked on something and left. And I remember thinking, like, I'm not going to tell anyone about this. It didn't look like anything I've seen before, because it was like normally like hours, and there's like lots of pages and like big stacks, and like people are pushing things back. We just like met, organized, and like left. And I'm like, well, that was not really a library experience. I remember thinking that when I left the library, like that one didn't count.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, this is. I'm just gonna pause and. Offer something like, okay, just something I can't shake, David, when you reference the Norman Rockwell version and you added the skull cap and like the papers. I'm like, is that Norman Rockwell or are you thinking of Dickens?
I don't, like, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe Dickens.
I don't know.
I think that might be Dickens, actually, yeah. With the quill pen.
Yeah, the quill
pen. Norman Rockwell is 1950s like Americana.
Yeah. I'm like, I imagine someone has a skull pen. But the reason side note, the reason I know I'm suspecting this is because you're looking at someone here who, I don't know if you know this about me, but I didn't have many friends, but I did have books. And one of my favorite, pretty much all my favorite books at a certain stage were like historical fiction books. Like I was really into the American Girl collection, which we could talk about another time or today. But I adored the American Girl like books. And then point is like I was that kid that like I wasn't just gonna like, literally, I asked for a quill pen for my birthday. I wanted a fountain pen. I wanted like the outfit. I wanted an actual candle. Like that would have like unlocked achievement for me. I to this day own one of those melted wax stamp. Like I'm just like into I'm into everything you're saying. So I'm just gonna say it is possible maybe for my studying to look more like that. I would enjoy it. And that might be me following like a special interest, but I know what you mean.
It's called cosplay.
It's totally called cosplay. Exactly. Oh my God.
It's totally called cosplay.
Thank you so much for listening. If you ever have that thought where you think, hey, I'm nothing, stop. Remember, you're something shiny.
That's right. Just as you are. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more free episodes of this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We're on Instagram as Something Shiny Podcast. And if you're looking for more information, useful links, definitions, visuals, everything we can think of and more is on our website at somethingshinypodcast.com. And it's all free. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
If you ever wanted to show your team shiny pride on the outside, that's right, now you can. We got merch. That's right, Something Shiny Podcast merch, available at somethingshinypodcast.com/merch.